for their always first Saturday of the month.
Okay.
Big flea market. I swear it got bigger this time.
How are those fleas?
I don't know, but the market is full of stuff.
Okay.
Nostalgic things, and it's just a great time, and vendors out there, so it's good. And just had a really good time, and then we went to a place called Vicious Biscuits.
Oh, wow.
Pretty nice place.
Yeah.
Pretty huge biscuits, but you know, just building family memories and time with family. I think it's so important that you build those memories. You know, we're going to be in the book of Ezra, and
hold on a second.
We won't be building nothing today. So, hold on a second. So we're gonna
complex book there.
There you go. But we're gonna be in the book of Ezra. It's a great chapter. It really talks about just building. God just returning his, or we should say out of exile. And God has this plan to return them to Jerusalem, and he has work for them to do. And it seems like it's gonna be hard laborious work, but God has a plan for all of that. And so first of all, we're going to talk about who are we talking about. We're going to be talking about God, who is the Alpha and Omega. We're going to talk about Cyrus, the Persian king. And we're going to talk about Judah, God's people who are in exile. What will we learn about them? The Lord reigns, all over the whole earth, calling the shots and changing hearts, even of those who do not acknowledge him as God, even of the most powerful man on the planet. And during that time, it just happened to be Cyrus. Cyrus is not a believer. He is personally nowhere with God. It is the Lord who reigns, not Cyrus. The Lord is moving the heart of King Cyrus. That's today too. You know, we think a lot of our rulers and everything, that they lead and everything, but they don't. It's God that's going to move the hearts of men to do right by them. Richard, go to the next one. And the next one. There you go. So what is being communicated here? What's going to be communicated in the book of Ezra? The return, the reveal, and acknowledge. You will acknowledge God. Fourthly, how does this apply to me? We are foreigners in a foreign land ourselves, are we not?
Yes.
That's right.
We are called to build a church, are we not? God is our only and true authority above all authority. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Let's pick up in Ezra 1. He called Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. The Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you may go up to Jerusalem and Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with free will offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Wow. God is amazing. God has got this man who lets you know that he is king of all the kingdoms of the earth of his day. And God has moved him to do great things for his people. That is flat out amazing.
It is amazing.
That should be encouraging to let you know that God is bigger than any man-made authority.
Yeah.
You know, the book of Ezra speaks so powerfully to us here. The physical temple in Jerusalem, which of course is brick and mortar, was in ruin and needed to be rebuilt. But today, the church, the people, we need to continually reform to be built into the people we should be.
Amen.
Consider how the church needs to be rebuilt. Pray that God would move to do that work first in you. We need to ask God, when it comes to the building of his church, to first do that work in us. Amen. It's so easy to look around the room and say, hey, I'm sitting to get busy and do some work. Yeah. It's so easy to look at the next man, the next woman, and ask them to do the work, or they should want to do the work. But we should pray first and say, God, no, start with me. Motivate me, move my heart to do my part in building the church. Secondly, then we need to pray that God will move to do the work in the church family. Next, we need to pray that God moves to do the work in the hearts of powerful and unbelieving rulers.
Right.
We need to pray the Lord move in the heart of Cyrus. I'm sorry, the Lord moved in the heart of Cyrus to begin a work of reformation. We need to look at that example of how God is moving in his heart. You know, sometimes we don't like to move forward or like to do things. Sometimes we do not like to be hands-on, I should say. Sometimes we are people with big ideas. We have a lot of ideas. I think it's a great idea. Matter of fact, I think it's a great idea if you do it. That's how we feel sometimes. That's just how we feel sometimes.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. I think you should do it. But it's not that way. No, God wants us to be involved. Ask yourself, how often do you pray for the government? They are allowed to be in place because of God.
That's right.
I remember Jesus' famous word to Pilate, you would not be in that position if not for my Father.
Right.
We need to pray for them, that the government would do right by God, not right by what they want to see done. A significant change in the hearts of people requires the mighty work of God. When the people of Judah were first carted off to Babylon in 605 BC, far from home and against their will, it would have been agony for them. But now, 70 years later, Babylon has become home. Cyrus is promoting religious tolerance and has an excellent human rights record. Living in Babylon is a very comfortable option.
Mm-hmm.
I heard Richard share earlier about, you know, China, and like you cannot be vocal or out front about your faith. That's been ongoing since long before now. It's just been ongoing. You cannot be public. But we live in a nation where religion is tolerated. Ain't that something? That's a blessing. We live in a nation where religion is tolerated. You know, these guys have lived in Babylon for 70 years. Some people were just being born or had not been born, but can you imagine you're born and all you've known is that I live in Babylon. I've seen King Nebuchadnezzar come and go, and I see King Cyrus. This is home. And imagine for a 70-year-old, it needs you to uproot and time to move back.
Mm-hmm.
We all get comfortable with places that we stay in, don't we? And we all heard it saying they've grown in their. But we won't become those people, will we? We won't grow old in our ways, will we? Will we?
Yeah.
Ain't no amen on that at all. You know, but sometimes we can grow old in ways and get settled in a way, and it gets comfortable. We're like, well, this is it, you know? But sometimes God likes to change things up. You know, living in America can be very comfortable. I would say myself, very comfortable, you know. So here we go. So to leave Babylon in order to relocate to Jerusalem is a really big ask. It means uprooting family, sorting out school places, getting to know new neighbors, leaving behind everything that is familiar. How many of you here are good about making new friends? Okay, I'm not walking alone. How many of you in here, it's a little challenging when it comes to making a new friend. You kind of struggle with like, I got to talk to the neighbor. I got to meet people.
Yeah.
You know, unless it's business or something else outside of that, why do we need to have conversation?
Right. Well,
some of us are like that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine being in Babylon at that time? You got to move. You got to make new neighbors.
It's a long move. Yeah.
Got to do reschooling. Got to get used to the atmosphere, wherever it's going over there, what will we be eating, what's going to happen. Big changes. You know, on top of that, on top of all of that, when they arrived in Jerusalem, they will be faced with really hard work of rebuilding the temple. For God's people to be prepared to do that, God must move their hearts. Do you understand that? Do it on your own strength. God's going to have to move your heart. He's got to move your heart. And you're going to have to answer. You're going to have to decide whether or not to respond or not. Now, if God wants you to do it and you refuse to do it, then you and God will have what I call as a Jonah moment. You're going to have that moment in life, because if God wants you to do it, it's going to get done. So I think it's better to surrender and say, okay, we're going to go do it, and we're going to pray that God give us some type of help to deal with all this hard work that's ahead of us. You know, when God moves our heart and impresses upon us the gospel, we too will see the importance of building the church. Amen. The church is the primary vehicle through which the gospel is to be proclaimed. So who is the church? Is it the building?
No, sir.
Is it the seats?
No.
It's gotta be the podium.
It's gotta be all those fancy TV and the screen.
Is it all that?
You're narrowing it down.
Ah, we're getting close, huh? We're warming up, huh?
Yep.
It must be the people, huh?
Yes, sir.
Man, in order for the church to grow, we all have to get in there and do the work.
That's right.
Just like the exiles who were called out of Babylon back to Jerusalem to build the temple, God said, you're going to have to be involved. You're going to have to be a part of the work. And some days the work is going to be hard. And some day when the work is hard, it's going to be joyful. You take pride in, like, man, look at what I'm a part of. And someday the work is going to be hard and seem long, and you're like, when is this project ever going to be done? But you know what? In the end, when the project is done, man, you will look back on it and you will take great pride in it and realize, wow, I got to be a part of something amazing. It is the same with the church. When we look back on our lives and we look at the work we got a chance to be a part of, we realize, wow, I played a part in God's plan to build his church. We are called to go into the neighborhoods to build the church. Here's a charge. Pray that the Lord will move in your heart, giving you a desire to see the church built. Ask God to prepare you to go. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do. God can powerfully use individuals who are wholeheartedly devoted to Christ. So Cyrus has been moved by the Lord. He's loving it. He's like, man, God has given me this great new vision. God has given me this great new area to rebuild, this new kingdom to restore. God's like, man, I mean, Cyrus is like, man, you know, hey, we got to do this. We're going to get behind God's plan to rebuild up the temple, to up in Jerusalem, to send his people to do it. Not our people, but his people to do the work. Cyrus is fired up. How does this happen? The Lord is God, verse 5. So the family heads of Judah and Benjamin, along with the priests and Levites, everyone whose spirit God has stirred, prepared to go up and rebuild the house of the Lord in Jerusalem. And all their neighbors supported them with articles of silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with valuables, in addition to all their free will offerings. King Cyrus also brought out the articles belonging to the house of the Lord that Nebuchadnezzar had carried away from Jerusalem and placed in the temple of his gods. Cyrus, king of Persia, the treasurer who counted them out to Sheshbazzar, the prince of Judah. You know, Cyrus is returning all the temple articles that had been taken by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon at that time, who took the people of Judah into exile. What looks like nothing more than an inventory of costly artifacts is in fact a powerful demonstration of the reversal of the exile, and with it, a powerful declaration that the Lord is God. When Nebuchadnezzar first took the people from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, he quite deliberately deposited items from the Jewish temple into the treasurer's house of his God. Doing so was a provocative proclamation that the Lord was weak and that he had been defeated by the gods of Babylon. But now, at the end of Ezra, Babylon no longer exists, and the articles belonging to the Lord's temple are being returned. So, go to the next one, Richard. So, who's really in charge?
Right.
This inventory speaks powerfully of the Lord's ultimate authority. It declares the end of the exile and the fulfillment of God's promise to his people. They are on their way home. So not only is God freeing them, and not only is God returning them back to Jerusalem, but he tells all the neighbors who are foreigners, and although we're in a foreign land, their land, you need to give them silver, you need to supply them with gold, you need to supply them with goods, and anything that they need. Say, you know what? We're going to make a mockery of King Nebuchadnezzar. Bring all my stuff back out and give it to my people so they can take it back with them. Isn't that something? You see, God is bigger than any earthly man who holds a position or title on this planet. They are on their way home. You know, we discover the exiles from God doesn't end by exile from God doesn't end by moving dishes and pans to Jerusalem or any kind of return to an earthly city. The exile is ended in Christ. Exile for us ends in Christ. In Christ, we discover that all of God's promises are fulfilled. As we come to Christ, we are brought back into a relationship with the one true living God. In Christ, a true reformation of God's people begins. It is our lifestyle that will declare that the Lord is King by proclaiming the gospel and ensuring the church is all that it should be. Consider the circumstances that cause people to suggest the Lord. When we appear to be far from the Lord, ask the Lord to give you the faith to believe that he is indeed in charge. I think the book of Ezra is going to be an amazing book. It's great to see God rebuilding his place in Jerusalem. It's great to see that he has his people involved. I think it's great for us to learn that. A lot of times we can be like, just ask God and we'll just sit still and God to do all the work. But as I've heard so many times before, God is a relational God. This is probably the part of the relationship you don't like. Well, yeah, he can do everything without me. Just let me reap the benefits. Some of us like that. But God is relational, that God wants you to be hands-on.
That's right.
He wants you to be involved with rebuilding the temple. He wants you to be involved with rebuilding the church. He wants you to be involved with this plan to take the gospel to our cities and to our neighborhood. Here's a final charge for you. Let us answer the call, just as Judah did. We need to answer God's call to go and build. Let us return to the Lord. You know, sometime, although you have been baptized, although you've known the Lord, you can drift and kind of wander off and stop practicing the things that you need to practice. If you get about quiet times, you stop praying, you stop speaking the language, you no longer look like a brother or sister in the faith, you look like a person in the world. You adapt the world's behavior, the world's way of thought, the world's way of thinking. And all in the same. I don't know if you've ever read the scripture, I think it's Matthew 22, it talks about the wedding banquet. You got to have on the right clothes.
Right.
Got to have on the right clothes at all time. We need to return to the Lord. God is calling us to return to Him always. We need to build the church.
Yes.
God is always building His church up. Because this earth that we live on, I'm so grateful for it. But this world is not our home. We're just passing through. If heaven's not my home, Lord, what will I do? I always think about that. We need to build the church and let people know that something better awaits them. And finally, we need to acknowledge that the Lord is God above all.
Amen.
Cyrus did that. He caught on real fast. Not only did he caught on real fast, but he told all his people, you give all of God's people everything that they need to go and build. We need to acknowledge that the Lord is God, that Jesus is Lord. We need to trust in Him. We need to constantly stay with Him. And we need to go and build the church. Amen?
Amen.
To God be the glory, guys. Thank you.
Amen.